Have you ever walked away from a tough conversation with your spouse feeling like you've maybe lost sight of what you really wanted in this conversation?
Yep.
Maybe you started out wanting to be heard, but ended up arguing, maybe trying to win, or maybe hurting each other instead. In this episode, part four on our communication series, we're diving into the how of healthy communication, starting with the person in the mirror. Join us today as we share practical tools to stay grounded, avoid these old patterns, and develop the ability for high-stakes conversations that can actually bring your relationships closer. That's what's up next on Master Your Marriage.
Did you know the average couple waits 6 years to get help in their marriage?
Yeah, that's 6 years of pain, hurt, and frustration.
Hi there, I'm Sharla Snow.
And I'm Robert Snow.
And welcome to Master Your Marriage,
where we believe that having an amazing marriage should never feel like hard work and shouldn't be a guessing game.
This is the show for married couples who want to discover a scientifically proven approach to building a masterful marriage and have fun while doing it.
So if that's you, you're in the right place. Let's dive in.
Well, welcome back to another episode. This has been a really great series so far. Definitely this topic of communication has been the most hands down, most requested topic. And that's why we are dedicating something like 8 episodes just to this topic.
Absolutely.
And so far in this series, we have talked about the importance of healthy communication. And healthy communication is not the same thing as conflict-free communication, is it?
No. I mean, if you've been in the Snow household last week, you'd realize that there was some, quote, I'm making air quotes for everyone, quote, healthy communication happening.
With conflict.
Yes. Yeah. It was healthy.
So healthy communication doesn't mean we never disagree or have differences of opinion. Of course, we're different people. And so we're never going to agree on the same exact things 100% of the time. But it is possible to be able to have high stakes conversations where you and your spouse seem to have totally different opinions, but also still be productive.
I like the term high stakes because I don't think we think about it. I mean, I think we all tiptoe around one or two topics in our relationships.
For sure.
Because we know that we don't see eye to eye with our partner on it. And we know that it's likely to turn into a high stakes conversation.
For sure. I mean, it's easy to kind of talk about what we're having for dinner, but you know, you want to talk about parenting or money or whatever that issue is for you. We all do tiptoe around certain topics, or we're scared to have those conversations.
You know what? And just again, you know, I alluded to it earlier about how we've had these conversations, and Charlotte and I we've probably addressed something that we've not fully addressed before in our relationship, just as relationships go. And we both just were like, I don't know if we should just like, I don't know. And I just remember looking to her and I said, you know, if we want to be truly vulnerable and bring ourselves closer together, we have to be able to have these types of conversations.
Yep. He said that. He said those exact words. If we're going to practice what we preach and we're going to really work on becoming closer together, we have to be vulnerable, share what's really in our heart, and work through this together. And so I appreciated that. It was a great reminder because it was a difficult conversation. And so healthy conversation doesn't mean that it's going to be perfect. It just means that we really, really try to remember 3 key things. One, we try to hold on to empathy for the other person and remember never let sight of seeing the other person's humanity. Number 2, we have to be honest. Like Robert just said, if we're going to be able to really know each other, we have to be vulnerable and honest and allow ourselves to be seen. And that's sometimes really hard. And 3, we have to strive to increase the mutual understanding between us. We have to increase the pool of information that we have between us.
But
yeah,
before we dive in, it's time for our review of the week.
Oh, I like this part.
Yeah. So this week's review comes from Trying00, who said, quote, the podcast I didn't know I needed. I learned something new from them that I can apply in my own marriage every time I listen. Such good stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. That was an amazing review.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. If you guys are new here and you haven't heard us talk about reviews before, here's why they're so important. We'll be brief, but they're not just a way to kind of pat ourselves on the back or feel good. They're truly the best way, the only way to help this podcast to grow.
Yeah. And that's because when Apple and Spotify see more positive reviews, they're more likely to feature us, which then means that more people can discover the Master Your Marriage podcast, get the same insights as you, and we can help more couples, which is truly our mission. So if our show has ever given you a helpful tip, strengthen your relationship, we would be so grateful if you would just share your review. Simply head over to Master Your Marriage on Apple Podcasts, scroll to the bottom, tap that 5 stars there, leave us a quick sentence or two in the review box. Then each week we pick one review to read on the show. And if you hear yours, just email us at masteryourmarriage@gmail.com. And then we'll send you a great little gift as a thank you for supporting us. So trying 00, please email us and look for that gift in the mail. Send us your address.
Perfect. Okay. Well, back to today's topic. So last week, if you guys listened to last week's episode, hopefully you did, Robert gave us a great analogy. He likened healthy communication to creating a dot-to-dot picture together with your partner. He kind of came up with that metaphor on the fly, and I loved it. So healthy communication is where if we imagine this dot-to-dot picture and we start to create the lines and draw in the lines together to figure out what this picture even is before we can even start to color it. And then we color the picture together. And as we're doing that, that's representing both of us contributing together to this end result, this end picture. We both are providing individual insights and honesty and perspectives in order to kind of increase the pool of information that we have between us. And this is challenging. This is challenging because sometimes we have to let in information that is different than how we think. And that means we have to really be able to calm ourselves down to be able to take in information from the other person that is maybe a little bit difficult to hear. But the end result, if you think about that picture that you're making together, yes, it may not look exactly like you would have painted it. Maybe it's a different color palette than you would have maybe painted, but together you end up creating something that you both respect and feel good about in the end.
I love that, you know, that you both end up creating something together.
Exactly.
That's cool.
Exactly. Well, I love it because you came up with it. And I've just been thinking about it a lot just this last week. Even in our conversation we had over the weekend, it was like, okay, we are increasing the pool of information. We're trying to paint a picture and we have to be honest about this, how we're both seeing this situation and lay down our colors and our lines and our sketching together to be able to see things more clearly.
Yeah. Cool. Well, in today's episode, it's time to turn to the how in this series. The number one rule in communication is to work on me first and then work on us or your relationship second. If you can't get yourself right, you're going to have a really hard time getting the conversation right when you're having it with your partner, especially when it gets difficult.
High stakes.
Yeah. So getting yourself right is the most important aspect of healthy communication. If you don't get that right at first, the minute things get tense, you're going to fall back into these same old communication patterns that you probably learned when you grew up. Maybe it's trying to win or needing to be right or punishment or the good old keeping the peace, which was my favorite. I'm just not going to say anything. I'm just going to keep the peace. Yes, even appeasement, which is this keeping the peace, is an unhealthy strategy for effective communication because it doesn't lead to better pictures. It doesn't increase the pool of understanding.
Exactly. So if we don't work on the me, which if I don't work on myself, then what is going to happen in these high stakes conversations? Well, like Robert just described, our conditioning is going to take over and the reactive part of our brain is going to start to steal the show. And so when that happens, of course, everything will start to shift. The strategies that you're implementing in the conversation, they're going to change. Your words, your tone, that's going to change. Your behavior is going to shift. And even your motives are going to shift. We're going to talk a lot about motives today for having a difficult conversation. And when we get reactive, our motives will shift. And whatever the goal was that we had for that conversation to begin with, slowly starts to slip away or sometimes quickly slips away.
I'm just saying, every time you have a conversation and the goal for the conversation gets sidetracked, it's no longer the right place to be.
It's no longer the right conversation.
It's a whole different conversation. Yep. And how many times, just ask yourself this, how many times have you been having a conversation like, what are we even talking about?
Totally.
Yeah, I don't even know what this is.
What are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing?
Where did this just go?
Well, and as much as we want someone else's behavior to change, and as much as maybe it's warranted that their behavior should change, the only person that you really have a chance of succeeding at it in shaping is the person in the mirror. That's why we have to work on me before we can work on us.
And this is going to require us to really get honest with ourselves and really start to look at ourselves clearly. It's kind of like zooming out from the situation. If you could do that, if you could zoom out and see yourself from a third party perspective, maybe imagine you could see yourself from the corner of the room instead of in your own body. Maybe you could even try doing that. What would you see? Maybe think of your last difficult conversation that you had. And in your mind right now, just sort of rewind the movie of that last difficult conversation and place yourself as an outsider for a moment and look at yourself from the corner of the room. You know, if you could step back from that interaction, could you ask, what am I doing in this moment right now as I'm looking at myself?
And the questions would be like, are you trying to save face? Or maybe you're avoiding shame or embarrassment. Are you trying to be right? Maybe you're trying to win an argument or maybe even punish your partner. Take an honest look at what you see. And if you're seeing yourself truthfully, consider what your motives might be in this conversation. Based on how you see yourself in this conversation, what does it say about maybe your possible underlying motives?
Exactly. So maybe, for example, let's work with that. Maybe you look at yourself in this memory in your mind and you say, oh, Sharla, you're being kind of harsh.
You're being a little sharp.
You're being pretty sharp. To be honest, I think I'm actually trying to hurt Robert right now because I feel hurt and I kind of want him to feel as bad as I feel. So I'm trying to hurt him, actually. If I really am being honest with myself, I'm being verbally cruel to him. Okay, Sharla, then what does that say about my motives? Well, if I'm behaving that way, what might my motives be? Well,
win at all costs.
Maybe I'm trying to win whatever it takes at all costs, even if that means hurting Robert.
I think whatever it takes is a great slogan when you're trying to work through a difficult problem, like at work, or you're trying to invent something.
But when it comes to relationships?
When it comes to relationships.
Not so good.
Whatever it takes when it comes to having conversations in relationships. Whatever it takes. Yeah, is not the right answer.
So now if I think about my motives, if I am trying to win at all costs with Robert, if that's really now I'm like really being honest, that's my motive, then back it up. Was that what my real goal was for this conversation to begin with? Was that really what I wanted? Did I want to hurt him and make him feel as bad as me so that I could win at all costs? Or did I just want him to hear me and understand that I had a need in that moment that I was hoping that he could maybe understand and help me with? But how far off track have I gotten from that original motive?
Yeah, that's where it goes sideways. And the one thing I wish people could remember, especially in these high stake conversations, is that when our motive shifts and we start engaging in any of the losing strategies, the thing we want most gets farther and farther and it falls out of our grasp. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes a losing strategy. When we sabotage everything we hope to achieve in this conversation, we're much less likely to be heard, much less likely to be understood, and less likely, or not even at all, to have our needs met.
Yep, exactly.
That is why every successful communication relies on the person in the mirror. And it literally starts with me. As I look in the mirror, it starts with me.
So how do we do that? How do we start with the person in the mirror? How do I stay grounded in those moments and not fall back into, I'm just going to hurt him because I'm hurting? How do I do that? Well, we're going to give you some questions today. This would be a great episode to jot down some notes on, but we're going to give you some questions that you can use internally to help you to refocus your brain on what actually is important to you. And these are some questions that I would suggest you ask before you ever go into a conversation. And I would also suggest that you can use these questions repeatedly during the conversation, because as your emotions are shifting throughout a difficult conversation, it's easy to get derailed. So when everything inside of you, I had somebody tell me just this week that they managed to do a difficult conversation kind of for the first time without resorting back to those old strategies. And he was saying everything inside of me was screaming at me to go back to doing that old thing. And I didn't. And he was really proud of that moment, something he felt really good about. Like he could respect himself for that. So when everything inside of you is fighting to fall back into that old strategy, what can you do? So let's talk about some questions you can ask yourself.
So we're going to go with four questions. And here's the first one. So the first question is, number one, what do I really want for myself?
Yeah, you have to think about that. Like, what is my goal? What do I really want for me? Yeah. What are my needs? What are my goals?
Number two, what do I really want for others? This could be your spouse, but it could also be kids, coworkers, or anyone else related to this conversation. And it could be you want them to have understanding, any of those types of things, right?
Yeah.
Number three.
Number three would be, what do I really want for the relationship?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we have so far? What do I want for me? What do I want for my partner or the person I'm speaking to?
Yeah.
And what do I really want for the relationship? So maybe, you know, as I think about those things and I'm really putting this into practice. I would say I really don't need Robert to agree with me exactly.
Maybe just understanding.
But maybe he could just try to understand my perspective. I would really appreciate that. And I do want us to be respectful. And I do want him to love me, even though he may not see things exactly as I see things. And I just really want us to be able to find a solution that we can both live with here.
Yeah.
So that might be what I come up with.
Yeah. And I think that people, and especially me, I'm like, oh man, I got to remember these four things if I want to have a conversation. But as you practice those, and as we put them into practice this last week, those and others, it just becomes easier to just really just dig down and deep and say, what is my goal for this conversation?
Yeah. And it's pretty simple. Let's repeat them again. What do I want for me? What do I want for you? What do I want for this relationship?
Yeah.
Me, you, the relationship. Yeah. What is it I want?
So now that you've asked these three questions and clarified what you want for yourself, others, and the relationship, there's one more question to go deeper. And I did say there were four. So here's number four. How would I be behaving right now if I were truly focused on getting the results that I wanted?
That is actually the magic question. I encourage you guys to actually pause this episode right now and write this question down because it's a good one. How would I be communicating right now if I were really actually focused on getting the results that I wanted? So those first three things that I listed, what I wanted, how would I be behaving right now if I was actually focusing on that?
Yeah. I mean, and if you wanted understanding to your example, would you be berating or...
Mm-mm.
Because you could almost just look at that and say like, well, but I just want him to understand my point of view. And then I call him an idiot.
Then I come in and hurt you because I feel hurt or misunderstood.
Yeah. And and as you look at it, that
logically makes no sense.
Yeah. Yet if you could see yourself communicating in ways that stayed focused on your objectives, what would that look like? Mm-hmm. Would you be trying to win?
Nope.
Would you be trying to punish?
Nope.
Would you be just, that passive trying to keep the peace?
Nope.
Would you just get defensive?
No, none of those things actually.
Right.
None. And when you truly can see it that way and truly self-confront, honestly, that last question is the question that is going to bring you back to your senses. Even if you grew up with parents that fought all the time and never gave you a good model of what communication looks like, even if you have generations of hard wiring that you're just trying so hard not to fall back into, you can still stop.
And we all have that.
We do. Yeah. But you can still pause and you can remind yourself, what do I really want? Yeah, you know what? I guess I don't really want to punish Robert and make him hurt. I mean, like you just said, what good would that do? What I really wanted for us was to have some kind of mutual understanding about this topic.
Yeah, I liked it. And I'm not going to try and distill all those down because they're such great ideas. Charla has one phrase. She always says, what do you want instead?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great pattern interrupt, but also in the midst of the conversation that it boils that down. What do you want instead? Well, I want to be heard, or I want this, I want that. And then, those are great ways to just ask yourself these questions. What is the direction that I want? And what is the end result? Especially if it's a difficult conversation, especially if I spent time thinking about how I wanted this conversation to go. How do I want it to go? What do I want?
And when you do, then you can get yourself back on track.
Yeah. What you'll find is that when you ask these questions, some part of you will resist. The immature part of you will try to trick you. For example, the voice in your head might say, well, I don't care what's good for him or the relationship. I'm right. I know it. And I'm justified in kind of punishing him. Mm. Or what else could I do? I've tried to be nice. Nothing works. So I have to use harsh words to get my way or he won't listen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound familiar?
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Have you ever said those things in your mind?
No, I haven't.
And that's because that is our regressive brain kicking in. And in that state, it's just easy to justify our behavior. And of course, in favor of who? Ourselves. And so one way that we kind of do this in our regressive mind is we start to see things very black and white. Once our regressive brain kicks in, our limbic system takes over, it's really almost impossible to think in nuance. If you think about a six-year-old child, which is essentially what we become when we get into that state, a six-year-old can't really think in complexity.
No.
Can he?
No.
No, you can't really think in nuance. It's just very black and white. In fact, one sign that your amygdala, a really big sign that your amygdala has been hijacked, is that things will become very black and white for you. Everything feels like binary. It's either this or that, you know, and that's that adaptive child in you that is trying to say to you, either I protect my boundaries or I protect the relationship. Either I scream and yell and get really loud, or he won't understand me. Or if I was going to protect my integrity, I had to stonewall her, of course.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But there is a way to break free from that trap. Start replacing those either or thoughts. I actually thought about it when you said it. I'm like, there's an and in there.
Exactly.
So start by replacing those either or thoughts with an and statement. So when you feel like it's either or, like either I get loud or he won't hear me, try to work out how you could maybe accomplish both things by using the and. Let's say my black and white thinking is as follows. I can't talk to Charla about my concerns or it's going to trigger a fight. So, you know, I'm just going to keep the peace. Mm. And that was me. So my binary thinking is, you know, either I protect the peace or I share my concerns. Maybe ask yourself this question. What do I really want? What do I want for me? What do I want for Charla? And what do I want for the relationship?
Now think about all those things that you want, self, others, and the relationship. Then get clear about what you don't want.
Yeah.
So if you're stuck in this, again, if you're stuck in this either or thinking, get clear about what you want and then get clear about what you don't want. Think about maybe what is it I'm afraid of? What's going to happen if I stop doing this current strategy of keeping the peace? Robert said his strategy was keeping the peace. And we know that that didn't work, but what is he afraid of if he were to stop keeping the peace? Well, maybe he is afraid of another useless screaming match, a heated exchange that ends with one of us storming out of the room, both of us feeling awful for the next week and never really resolving anything.
Yeah.
That's what he's probably afraid of.
Now combine what you want and what you don't want with an and statement. Okay, here we go. How can I have an honest conversation and share my concerns with Charla and avoid a big blow up?
I love the and.
Yeah, and.
And.
And changes everything.
And you know what's really cool about the and is that when you use the and, how can I do this and that? What happens is you present your brain with something that kind of kicks in logic. It kicks in the prefrontal cortex. It starts to activate the wise part of you just by asking the question. And you start thinking like, is it actually possible to do both? Is there a way that I can tell my spouse my concerns and not insult him? Is it possible to talk about money and not get into an argument?
I love that. I love this. And we have an and in our relationship, just as one of our fun little trips that we do. Is it all right if I share that?
Sure. Why don't you know what you're going to say? Go for it.
Yeah, I know. It's great. So we like to go to this local restaurant called Maggleby's down the street from us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes Charlotte will say, you know, I'm not really hungry. Let's get a salad. Mm-hmm. And we'll split a salad. And this is where and is so powerful. I say, that sounds great. And since we've saved the food, we could get carrot cake.
Okay.
You see how that just took that salad situation and just made it just wonderful.
Another Robert metaphor.
And we could have carrot cake.
Yes.
Because carrot is a vegetable.
And what happens when we start using more ands in our dialogue?
Well, at least in the conversation. So I'll just get back on track. I'm sorry that I took us off.
No, it was awesome.
Yeah. What we usually find is that life is really nuanced. It's never black and white, but our limbic system sort of tricks us into believing that it is. Yeah. Most of the time, just about any couple can have difficult conversations where solutions can be discovered while also protecting the relationship. Rarely, and I say rarely, and probably if ever, is any situation as black and white as our brain leads us to believe it is. There's almost always a way to have both. Yeah. We can always have salad and carrot cake.
Perfect. All right. Well, let's review the key points from today's episode. Quick recap. Number one, work on me first. If you can't get yourself right, you're going to have a really hard time getting the conversation right. Number two, check and recheck your motives often. Make sure that you're not slipping into wanting to win or getting even, because that's going to pull you away from what you really want. Number three, look at your behavior. Okay.
Absolutely.
Scan out, go to the corner of the room in your mind. If you were really focused on what you actually wanted, is this what my behavior would look like? What would my behavior actually look like? if I was focused on what I wanted.
And then ask those four powerful questions. What do I want for myself and others and the relationship? And how would I be behaving if this is what I really wanted? Lastly, notice when your regressive mind tries to justify or lock you into this box, this black and white thinking. Go back to asking, what do I want for myself and others? What do I want for the relationship? What do I not want? And how can I frame this with an and then search for ways to healthy dialogue?
You know, I often tell couples it's not about always knowing exactly the perfect thing to say. It's not about memorizing a script. It's not about being eloquent. Most of the time, you don't even need me to help you. You've got it. You just need to work on you. You just need to work on being wise and focus on working on yourself first, which means keeping your side of the street clean. Focus on me before I can focus on us. And what you'll find, and I think you'll be really surprised how wise you already are when you do that, and how much more likely you are to be able to navigate these high stakes conversations.
That's so awesome. That's a wrap for this episode today. Stay tuned for next week, and we talk more about the stories that we have going on in our head. And we have a really cool example and a story to share with you about one of our recent camping trips.
That's going to be fun. Well, thanks for tuning in today. Remember, you guys, this week, to be kind to each other, put each other first. It's the small things done often that generally create the biggest impact.
Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Master Your Marriage. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, then we want to hear from you. Just go to MasterYourMarriagePodcast.com and send us your question.
Oh, and while you're there, you can also check out our retreats and events and even apply for coaching.
And make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you get advanced notice of when the next episode drops, plus show notes and many extras. Thanks again for tuning in.